Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh Design Conference Call for the 17th day of May, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Ishmael. The agenda for today's call is situation update. And before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Ishmael. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody that calls in will be muted, and you will stay that way until such time as you indicate you wish to speak, and then I take each of those requests in the order that they are sent to me, and then you can join the call. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we do recommend checking the Daily Mail page there from time to time for the latest and more pertinent news that's coming down the pike. A lot of things going on right now. And so you want to stay abreast of it as much as you can. Thank you. Ella says sound is okay. Yeah, I'm in slightly different setup tonight, so it may sound a little bit different than normal. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope and a future. You shall call on me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's the part most people don't seem to get today, the part where we are to do that with all of our heart. I have some quotes I want to share with you here before we get into the meat of the matter. I've been saving these quotes in a document ever since computers first started allowing us to use the internet with company email and stuff. I'm up to 55 pages of quotes. And a lot of these have to do with the situation we find ourselves in today, and I think they're very appropriate. Thomas Jefferson told us to enlighten the people, and tyranny and oppression of mind and body will disappear like spirits at the dawn of day. And, of course, enlightening is talking about educating people. Darkness in Scripture is talking typically about ignorance. Not necessarily evil all the time, just ignorance. There's an old adage called a code of honor, be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright that Yahweh God may love you. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. The only caveat to that is speaking the truth always. The Hebrew midwives obviously did not speak truth to Pharaoh when he ordered that all the babies be murdered. They did not speak truth to him because he didn't deserve it. When they say speak truth always, even if it means your own death, I believe they're talking more in the line of Israelite to Israelite, not those who would do evil against us. Another old adage goes, never be lukewarm. Life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. In America, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people, meaning our race, to just happen without your input. Now again, we're going to read Dr. Henry Kissinger's quote from 1991, and if you remember, 1992 was the incident with Randy Weaver's family, and from that year on, the escalation of terror against the American people escalated year by year by year, going from there to Waco, Oklahoma City, and eventually to 9/11 in New York City. At each event, much more severe, much more terrorizing, but this is what the Zionist Jew, Henry Kissinger, said in Evian's France in 1991. Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. So Henry Kissinger let the cat out of the bag for anybody paying attention in 1991 when he says there in the beginning, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles at that time. So obviously the whole idea behind UN troops is to use them eventually to suppress the American people. I don't think they'll try to use our own military because many in our military would still be loyal to us, whereas UN troops will have no loyalty whatsoever. So the goal for world government, suppression of the white race, and the use of UN troops, I think it's pretty obvious. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear Yahweh God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, man here, of course, is talking about Adamic man, the white race. We were put here to fear and revere our Heavenly Father, who created Adam or Adam, the men who show blood in the face or blush. And we were put here with the duty to love him, but also to keep his commandments and teach them to others. John Adams told us that without the pen of the author of Common Sense, now Common Sense was a publication back in the days of the colonies, and a lot of people think it was Thomas Paine that wrote them, but Common Sense was printed and often posted on Liberty Trees throughout the colonies. So John Adams is saying, without the pen or the author of Common Sense, the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain. In other words, before you commit the troops, you commit the people. In fact, it was either George Patton or General Douglas MacArthur, one of those two generals who told us that you do not commit the troops until you commit the people. And that's where we're at today. We're in an ideological war with the Antichrist Jews to awaken our people so that when the time of the sword comes, we know why we're fighting. Manny Friedman, a Jew, of course, said, let's be honest with ourselves here, fellow Jews. We do control the media. Oh, amen. Absolutely. No, I can't believe anybody doesn't know that. Thomas Jefferson said, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. That's where we're at today. Injustice everywhere. Thomas Paine, again, author of Common Sense, said, "The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance." Okay? So he's saying that you and I, fearing resistance, we empower and strengthen the despots. And Lavoie Finicum, the grandfather that was murdered by the Oregon State Police a few years back in cold blood, said that no matter how it ends, it matters how you stand. So, just a few quotes there for you as we get started tonight. Hopefully, everybody can hear me okay. I'm going to just check the board here real quick. Let's see here. In the queue. Okay, no questions yet. Very good. So, and again, welcome. Sorry for the change of date from Sunday till today. A few things going on. And it necessitated that situation, but I'm glad we've got the folks that could make it tonight, so thank you for that. Now, the situation, as far as from my perspective at this time, is the fact that we are being inundated with information. A lot of it's half-true. Some of it is misinformation, even by good guys, I'd imagine. But where it puts you and I as the folks out here in the trenches that are not privy to the backdoor meetings between white hats and black hats, it puts us in a precarious position where we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. The only thing that you can tell for sure is that things are mucked up, terribly mucked up, and seem to be getting worse by the day. However, there is resistance showing up, and there are people waking up by the boatloads. Okay, so at the same time bad things are happening, good things are happening. Okay, you typically don't see a lot because the media, all of the media, tends to focus on what the bad folks are doing. So what I like to do more today and going forward is I'm going to focus on the positive, keep the energy levels up, keep the good vibrations going. And besides that, Yahweh told us not to fret about yesterday, not to fret about tomorrow, because you can't do anything about either one of those. So let today's concerns be sufficient unto themselves. So what we do know, what do we know? Well, we know that the Zionist Jews have infiltrated every white nation. Okay, every white nation is under attack. Their culture, their heritage, their history, the racial demographics of the countries are being decimated, and the Jews are behind it all. That we do know. We do know that they have a stranglehold on both banking and the media, absolutely, and using those two power centers, they are controlling a lot of the narrative, and they're controlling a lot of the people that we would normally trust to be the watchdogs on the wall, the watchmen on the wall to warn us about what's going on. So they have usurped and adulterated the clergy in America and around the world. So most of your preachers, pastors, etc., especially the Protestant ones, have been completely compromised. The Roman Catholic Church has been compromised for centuries. But even now, the Daughters of the Great Whore, which is the Protestant churches, are now just as corrupt and evil and wicked as the Roman Catholic. So you're not going to get the truth, you're not going to get the whistles and the warning bells by those guys at all. So we do know that. Clergy is deaf and dumb when it comes to what the Jews are up to, what the bankers are up to, what the world, New World Order is up to, They're not going to speak about anything, any of the racial issues, etc. They've been compromised completely. So we do know that. We do know that the vaccine that they're calling a vaccine, anyway, is not a vaccine. We do know that it is an experimental substance that is not approved. Okay, that's even their own documentation says that. So we do know that. Why in the world anybody would put this experimental substance into their bodies is beyond my ability to even wrap my head around it. I just don't understand why anybody would put an experimental serum that has not been tested properly, and when it was tested against the animals in animal studies, the animals died and they stopped the tests. What does that tell you? So again, what they call a vaccine is not a vaccine. We do know that. We know that people like Fauci and Birx are liars. Okay, they should be on trial for murder, both of them. Anybody in government and anybody in a medical institution pushing these vaccines, again, what they call vaccines, for this non-existent pandemic ought to be on trial. All of them. For fraud and endangerment, reckless endangerment and crimes against humanity. They're all guilty, whether it's the media, the medical establishment, or government agencies. They are all complicit. Anybody in uniform that's assisting them in this is also guilty. Again, you cannot assist evildoers and expect to be exempt from punishment. Doesn't work that way in Yahweh's kingdom. There is no such thing as an exemption. Okay, when the government says that we're going to give you an exemption, for instance, the license to kill. Remember the James Bond movies? James Bond has a license to murder, basically. So the government says we have the right to, quote, license something that's either immoral or illegal for our benefit. So in the case of spies, terrorists, and assassins, the government says that, well, they're exempt from prosecution because we say so. Same thing for the vaccine companies. They're exempt from prosecution for murdering and harming people with their substances. Government doesn't have a right to do that. Okay? In the eyes of the Almighty, government does not have the authority to exempt anybody from committing a crime against the Father and our people. Okay? Murder is murder. It doesn't matter who does it or how they do it. The taking of an innocent life is murder. Period. Pedophilia can never be justified under any circumstances. Kidnapping is a capital offense. People in uniform, you better pay attention to that one. We've told you this over and over again. When you take somebody into custody and they have not committed a crime, and you're just, quote, following orders, that is tantamount to kidnapping. All right? Bear that in mind as you do it. Now, the people that you listen to and sign your paychecks, of course, they're going to tell you that, quote, we gave you permission, and we're going to make sure you're okay. The day of them being able to do that is coming to an end very soon. So, again, if you're in uniform, aiding and abetting terrorism or using these medical substances on people against their will or taking people into custody because somebody in a government office told you to do it, even without proper cause or a warrant, that is kidnapping. Scripture is pretty plain what happens to kidnappers. Okay, so we do know all these things. We know what God's law says. We know these people have violated it. We know the mainstream media couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. I don't know why anybody on God's green earth would listen to any mainstream media at all, period. Why you would watch any mainstream programming, period. We do know who we are, and we do know our Father's in charge, just like the scriptures we've read, and there's many others. He is in total control, and if you are his son or daughter, then you are not to have the spirit of fear. As it says in Psalm 91, you're going to see what happens to thousands at your one hand and tens of thousands at your other, but it won't come unto you. What do you think Father's trying to tell you with that? Just like we see today. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. But if you're prudent and you're walking in the ways of the Father and you're paying attention to what's going on, it should not come unto you and to your household. Just saying. A prudent man sees disaster coming, and in some cases, a prudent man sees there's disaster, like in the centers of cities and around the communist-held areas, and you want to avoid those. Why would you want to take you or your family and put them in harm's way in the midst of all these communists? So anyway, these are the things we need to focus on, the things that we can trust in, our relationship with each other as we build this family relationship with both our Father and each other as members of the family. That's where we gain our strength, and we fellowship with each other. Even though some of us, we pass these different articles by other people around, we're not sending them around with the idea that what they're telling you is 100% accurate. That's never going to be the case. It's sent around with the assumption that you have some discernment, that you can pick out the meat, and then you will spit out the bones. I've never sent a single thing in all my years that I expected somebody to accept 100% of it. I mean, come on, folks. You don't even take anything I say 100%. I've had plenty of discussions with different members of our family over certain issues. So, you know, it's not uncommon that we don't agree on everything. That's why it says we work these things out. Work out your salvation, okay? Learn line upon line, precept upon precept. It's the working together through all of this that builds our unity and also helps us to see through the lies and deceptions. Because together, you and I, putting our heads together and our hearts, we have much more power than they do, even with their artificial intelligence, because it is artificial. You don't think our Heavenly Father can circumvent their artificial intelligence? The creator of this world can't get around their made-up artificial intelligence? Come on, folks. The other thing we do know is that we can always get back to our basics, which is what we should be doing. Minimalizing as much as possible, staying out of debt as much as possible, learning to do with less in some cases. There's nothing wrong with that. I grew up in Amish country. By today's standards, I grew up poor on a farm. Okay, I didn't consider myself poor, but by today's standards, we were poor, living in a concrete block house without very much fanciness to it whatsoever, just square and concrete block. And most of the rooms weren't even finished when we moved into it. We finished them slowly over a period of years while we lived in it. But I didn't think that was poor. My dad made sure that the furnace worked in the winter. We stayed warm. He made sure the roof didn't leak, so we stayed dry. And I don't really remember ever going hungry for very long, so how was that poor? But people of the world today would consider that poor. I think we need to downsize and knock ourselves down a peg or two. We've allowed ourselves to get up pretty high in our image of ourselves to where we think life owes us something, that the Father above owes us. I got news for you. He doesn't owe you a damn thing, just as my father told me when I was a boy. I had you. I clothed you. I fed you. I kept you safe. I educated you. That's what my duty was. My duty was never to be your friend, and I don't owe you anything above that. Wise man, my father. And I am glad that he did not spoil us. In fact, from the age of about 8 years old, I believe, as soon as I got old enough to safely operate a lawnmower by myself, I made my own spending money. I never had an allowance, ever. So if I wanted some pocket money for a soda pop or a piece of candy or a fudgesicle or something like that, or to buy books at school, I earned it mowing yards. I don't think Father was evil or mean because he expected me to earn my keep. I think the attitude that anybody owes you something is a very negative one, and it does not build, first of all, it doesn't build confidence in yourself. There's a certain amount of pride when you go out and make your own instead of somebody just giving you things. We do know that the economic system is teetering on the edge. We know that. What's going to happen once it collapses completely? Well, I guess we're going to find out here pretty soon. But I would be prepared for either way. If this is the time of revelation where Father's going to take this world system and crush it, then we will come out of the ashes of that with a brand new system that's based on honesty and integrity. And these banksters and communists of the world that have seduced and are abusing mankind, they're going to be without. Their system is going to crash and burn. As it says in the book of Revelation, the merchants of the world, the government people, the kings and princes, which is government people and the merchants, meaning bankers and corporation heads and things like that, they are the ones weeping and wailing as Babylon burns. So we know that time is going to come. I just saw that there's a new book, can't think of the title right offhand. I just saw it yesterday and already I forgot, but it's by Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer of the United States Air Force, where he discusses the Marxism and the cultural revolution that these Marxists are bringing forth on our military. In fact, the Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer was basically fired from his position in the Space Force that he was a part of as a commander because he put this book out and he gave interviews about the book where he said that. And it's true. I've talked to plenty of my veteran friends who are still in the service. Plus, we even saw a lot of this stuff sneaking into the service back in the 1970s when I was in the United States Air Force. So this has been going on for decades. Again, it coincides with the power of the Jew within the government. Okay, it really kicked in high gear in the 1960s, especially when Jacob Javits and a bunch of other Jews in Washington totally dismantled our immigration policy, which up until 1965 was very, very commonsensical, and it kept our demographics balanced for the white people who founded this country. A lot of people don't even know that today. It's amazing. We founded this country. It wasn't Arabs. It wasn't Jews. It wasn't Chinamen. It sure as hell wasn't blacks. Okay? This was founded as a white nation. In fact, the United States Supreme Court, in some of their decisions, clear up until 1900, long after the Civil War ended, their decisions went against plaintiffs or those that came before the bench in the Supreme Court, and they were thrown out because they had no standing, being they were not white. Okay? So that's clear up until almost 1900. So anyway, this Lieutenant Colonel, he wrote this book, and I wish I could remember the name of it. Let me see if I can call it up here real quick, because it kind of bugs me. But anyway, he wrote that. He gave these testimonials about why he wrote the book and his concerns, and he ends up getting fired because of it. So to me, that's proof that what he was saying is probably very, very true. Just bear with me here a second. It's a one-man operation, folks. Oh, there it is. Irresistible Revolution. Okay? Irresistible Revolution by Matthew Lohmeyer. The subtitle for it is Marxism's Goal of Conquest and the Unmaking of the American Military. Again, by Matthew Lohmeyer, Lohmeier. So there we go. Thanks for bearing with me on that. Every time the enemy does things like that, they reinforce everything we've been saying about who's doing what to whom in this country, who's been behind all of these shenanigans. They're verifying it. So the old adage about when your enemy's making a mistake, don't interfere, okay, that's very true. So again, we're at that point where John Adams was talking about the pen of the author of Common Sense. That's kind of where we are right now. We're the modern day version of the people that wrote Common Sense and all the liberty documents in the day of the Liberty Trees in colonial America. We are basically where they were. We have a tyrant, not over across the ocean in England, but the tyrant is in Washington, D.C. and in some of our state capitals. Okay? The tyrant has come and usurped their position and infiltrated our learning institutions, most of our corporations, certainly our media, education, et cetera, and the halls of government, okay? So we have a tyrant, only in this case, instead of a monarch, it is an oligarchy. It's an oligarchy operating as a monarch, a tyrant, a dictator, if you will. Okay, so understanding that we're at that phase and you don't see a whole lot of things happening, just understand that below the surface, there is a fire in this country raging right now. We're on the brink of splitting right down the middle. Now, land area-wise, we hold the vast majority of the land in this country. When I say we, it's the Patriots, white Anglo-Saxon descendants of the founding fathers. We hold more territory. They have the centers around cities and in the halls of government. That's their strong points. And of course, that also means in the media. But as far as the flyover country, the suburbs, and out into the countryside, that's our territory. They pretty much are held up in high concentration of population areas, such as the metropolitan cities and things like that. So they're concentrated in those areas, which is, by the way, is exactly why the Founding Fathers said that if you don't own land, you don't cast the ballot. Okay, that's exactly why. Because you got a bunch of itinerants holed up in high rises in the cities, and they're outvoting the folks in the countryside. Okay, because they're in there, and the Jews have basically handed out trinkets and money and handouts to where they can get them to vote communist. But the Founding Fathers had a solution to that, is you don't give people that don't own land a right to be part of governing your country. You also don't give other races that right. And I know, ladies, you don't like hearing it, but you don't give the women that right. Because it's our job. It's the men's job. Allow us to be who Yahweh intended us to be. Would you please? He gave us the tools to be soldiers, leaders, explorers, discoverers, and to take care of the civil affairs of our people. That was our job. If you look at the demise of our country and follow the graph, it follows right along with the graph of the decimation of what our founding fathers established as the qualifications to cast ballots, sit on the jury, or hold public office. As each of those qualifications was destroyed by the Zionist communists and they're blathering over the media and controlling the narrative, and everybody bought it. And then a bunch of Jewish women got together with the Jewish men, and they put it out that the white women were fed up with this system and they wanted feminism and the freedom for white women. Well, Jews aren't white. So that's how they got our ladies to buy into it, because a lot of people just assumed that they were white, but they're not. The leading figures of feminism were all Jews. Okay, so they were in lockstep with the male Jews in doing the things to disrupt and destroy this Christian republic. So I think it becomes paramount and pretty obvious that if you want to restore order in this country and around the world, you get back to Yahweh's law, which means get back to what the Founding Fathers said, because they based the laws of this land very much on Scripture. His law, okay? Because it's the only law that matters. Even Peter said, when it becomes a choice between man's law and God's law, you must, he didn't say maybe you should, he said you must obey God's law. Man's law is secondary. Even William Blackstone, probably one of the greatest jurists of all time, and his commentaries on law were taught in our universities up until the modern times. William Blackstone made it very clear that any law legislated by any body that goes against God's law is no law at all, meaning it has no authority and no standing. It's pretty simple. Man is only allowed to generate regulations, statutes, etc., to assist in enforcing God's law, Yahweh's law. That's it. We were never given the right to create new law, such as the Jews and their Talmudic teachings in our government that a baby is just a fetus. The baby has no rights, so it can be murdered. Okay, that's how they do it. That it's not right to have borders that protect the demographic ratio within our own country for the people that founded it, of course we have that right. But they put their money and their control of the media behind the traitors and spokesmen of our race who supported them, much like the John Hagees and the Kenneth Copelands and Robert Schulers of the world, who have sold their souls to Satan for the electronic shekels that the Jews give them. So they're no longer watchmen on the wall. They're just Baal priests, really, at this time. They are functioning exactly as the Baal priests did in the days of our ancestors when they were known as the Hebrews. Ralph says here that the MMRA jab, in his opinion, is a program using nanotech to change your DNA. This could never pass vaccine trials, so the CDC could never approve it. Well, yeah, probably not. Of course it wouldn't. See, they're getting desperate to running out of time. Remember, the scripture says that that Satan, the great dragon, would be angry because his time is short. And so he would reach out and lash out against the children of the Most High in great anger because his time is short. And you're seeing it right now. They're absolutely berserk. I mean, you really, truly have to be brain dead not to see the machinations of these creatures, these miscreants that are walking on two legs amongst us. You really have to be trying to think of the right word. You have to be so far from Yahweh and the truth that you're almost irredeemable in order to believe the BS that's going on today. Okay? So the Father has told us true that our enemies, the great dragon, the great antagonist, his wrath is very great. In fact, it's so great that they are losing their rational thinking. They are saying and doing things that are completely insane at this time. So that tells us further that we're in the timeline of what Scripture has told us would be at the last of the days, the end of time, or not the end of time, but the end of days, the end of this earth age, as we get ready to go into the next earth age, where the kingdom will be established and nothing that offends our Father will be allowed into the kingdom. You and I are here to implement that plan. You know that, right? I know you feel like we have no power and there's nothing we can do about it, but you'll see. In the coming days, you'll see. That's why you have to stay strong, stay in your faith, do not allow the spirit of fear to creep in, do not allow the negative energy and the evil forces to overcome you. You stay strong. Stay focused, laser focused on who you are, your destiny, and who our Father is. Okay? If Yahweh be for us, then who can be against us? Isn't that in your Bible? Your Biblos? Your writings? Okay? So, anyway, as best as I can tell, like I said, there is so much going on, so much reporting, that it almost is overwhelming. Many people have stopped reading a whole lot of the news items, etc., whether they're good or bad, doesn't matter, because you just don't know who to trust anymore. So that's why I say, let's just get back to basics. We know who we are. We've been talking on this show for almost 22 years, and we've been talking about how we are to behave as his children. And that's enough. Okay, that's enough. Don't allow what you see going on around you to come into your sphere, so to speak, your paradigm, your zone, if you will. Keep that on the outside. And keep yourself surrounded by those who build you up, edify you, bring strength to you, etc. And the naysayers and Debbie Downers, if you will, you want to keep them at a minimum and keep them away from you. You're on the winning team, ladies and gentlemen. I know it looks like we're not winning, but we are winning. Okay, more and more people are opening their eyes to the identity message. More and more people are looking to their scriptures. More and more people are looking with their eyes to the heavens for the help of our Father, which is exactly where we should have been all along. And we should have given up on the idea of man ruling over man a long time ago. Should never allow that ugly serpent to raise its head. Cut that head right off. We only have peace and prosperity on this earth when we allow our Father in heaven to rule from his throne through us. So when we're in obedience to him, then we have the right to be his administrators. When we as the silver, and what the silversmith said, when he sees that we're clean and pure, and he sees a reflection of himself in you and I, in the way we speak and talk and act, when he sees that, then you have a right to reign with him. That's where we're at. That's what we should be working for. So, again, just a quick one tonight, just to say hello and see if anybody had anything to report. If anybody does have something they want to share real quick here, please call in. Or if you're on the computers, just hit that button that says ask question. If you're on a phone, it's *6. I'm planning on being back on Wednesday night. We'll see how that goes. And again, you have to stay flexible. It's what we used to say in the military, especially. We used to say that almost every day. You better stay flexible because they can change the rules, change what you're doing at the drop of a hat. So you don't get too fixated. Don't get too focused in on what you, quote, expect every day. But allow some latitude in there, whether it's your family or what's going on in the world around you. Stay flexible. Remember, we used to have an analogy of the willow tree, the weeping willow tree, with those long branches and all. But they are extremely flexible. So even in very high winds and bad storms, the branches don't break. Typically, they don't break because they're very, very flexible, not stiff. And so they can withstand turbulence when it comes. That's the way we should be. Strong, but flexible. So, anyway. Again, just a short one tonight. And want everybody to stay encouraged. Stay focused. Keep your walk with the Father as tight as you can. Keep your reaching out and networking with each other as much as you possibly can. And with the folks that you trust. Because you do. You know, all of us should have people we trust. And also that we work together with in prayer. Because remember, two or more gathered in my name, I am there with them. The prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Surely you remember that. So stay strong, and we'll be back on Wednesday night. In the meantime, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for this opportunity to be with our brothers and sisters. We are in perilous times, and we just ask the Holy Spirit to reach down and touch each and every one of our brothers and sisters. Those that need a healing, that their bodies might be healed, that the medical professionals that are working with them, that they'd have the right solution. We pray our people would cleanse their bodies and their minds of this cesspool world that we live in. And as we get our bodies purified and better shape, then we'll be better able to fight this war that's coming. We just ask also, Father, you would guide us in all that we say and do, that we could bring about your kingdom, and that we can lift each other up. We also ask that you would protect us from our enemies, and we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.